Welcome to the Friday, November 23rd, day after Thanksgiving edition of the podcast. Third podcast of the week. That's a first in the limited time we've been doing it. A lot of fun. Had Steve Spurrier on yesterday on the special bonus edition of the podcast. Had a lot of fun doing that. Also had a lot of fun writing about his takes on the Dabo-Spurrier feuds from back in the day at TigerIllustrated.com. Also, our latest video review segment is up at TigerIllustrated.com, where we broke down both South Carolina, some recent games of theirs, and also some of the recent developments with Clemson. Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith and Archenholt Law Firm in Greenville. Very happy to have them aboard. Couldn't do it without them. Blake Smith and Brooke Archenholt, both Clemson grads, both huge fans. Forte of their firm is medical negligence. They represent patients and their family members in medical negligence actions. They also handle all sorts of other complex personal injury litigation. I can vouch for them. About 10 years ago, a family member had a pretty serious medical situation with one of the local hospitals. Went to Blake Smith, and he very quickly and authoritatively gave us some great advice, and we were very thankful for that. Parham Smith and Archenholt offers free consultations. Give them a call, 864-990-4581, or parhamlaw.com. Folks, if you're around Clemson this Friday, Black Friday, come on over to the Abernathy Boutique Hotel in Clemson. They are hosting the National Championship Trophy from 2016. Really cool. Open to the public from 3:45 p.m. to 5:30. The National Championship Trophy will be on display inside the Abernathy. Also from 5 to 8, live music from a band called All of Us featuring Brad Crow. And even yours truly will be there banging on some percussion instruments and such. From 4:30 to 7, food and drink specials at Taps Bar and Cafe. Also from 5 to 7, a tequila tasting sponsored by Herradura. Also Saturday, as usual, there will be a tailgate outside the Abernathy before the South Carolina game. But come on over Friday. Check it out. You can learn more about the Abernathy by going to theabernathy.com. All right, let's get to our conversation with Corey Miller, former Gamecock football player, former NFL player for 9 years, played alongside Lawrence Taylor. Now Corey is a media personality. He's a TV sports anchor, previously was in the radio industry down there, and every weekend for the last 5 years, he has made the trip to Tuscaloosa or wherever Alabama is playing to see his boys play football. So busy man, and thank Corey for taking time out for us earlier this week to have a really lengthy and enjoyable conversation. Here we go. Enjoy. All right, here with Corey Miller, the pastor of pain. Man, that just rolls off the tongue. How you doing?
Man, Larry, I'm doing great. So good to catch up with you, and happy holidays to you. Hope you're doing well.
Likewise. Okay, tell us what you're up to. Watch Fox lead sports anchor, motivational speaker, husband, father of Christian Miller. Sounds like a pretty busy life for you.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, work's been great. Of course, covering sports, South Carolina, Clemson, all the high schools that we do around here, and Panthers, so that keeps me pretty busy. And then, you know, having to travel about every weekend, going to see my son in Alabama, so that's been a blessing. This is our fifth and final year, so that'll be coming to a close here pretty soon, but it's been a blessing, and I've totally enjoyed it. Of course, it's definitely tiring, but it's been such a joy, to see your kids in school and do well. My other son, CJ, is also at Alabama, so I get a chance to see both those and about every week, and been enjoying it, but I can say I can do for a good break, though, after this final year.
Apologies there for missing CJ, forgetting about him also being at Alabama. My fault on that. So how many are you? Is it 5 days a week that you do the TV thing?
Yeah, what I do is especially, you know, I do both sports casts, 5 o'clock and then the 10 at night. And now we've implemented a 30-minute show every night after our news. And, of course, I host Monday and Tuesday. We have the Clemson show on Wednesday night, something that I wanted to be a part when we came over there 5 years ago. So I knew we had a lot of Clemson fans here in the Columbia area. So we have that on Wednesday. And then Thursday, I do the high school show. Friday night, we do the live high school football game. So we pick a game every week, and we do all the state championship games as well. And now we've implemented basketball. So once football season over, we'll start doing high school basketball on Friday night. So, yeah, I stay pretty busy, but I enjoy it and seeing these young athletes and watching all the college football players, you know, such great players at South Carolina, South Carolina, and at Clemson, and getting the chance to watch those guys play and cover them has been awesome.
Do you go to all your son's game, all of Alabama's games?
I do, and again, I'm so thankful to watch Fox and Sinclair Broadcasting. And when I came over 5.5 years ago and was implementing these plans with the shows and all the newscasts, one of the things that, you know, I wanted to say is I can't do weekends. I know it's game day and all this stuff, but, you know, my children are extremely important to me, and I want to be a father that's there for my son. You know, I love being in the stands, watching him and praying for him. And I've had that opportunity the last 5 years. So I said to go there and watch the games. And because I miss, you know, a lot of the Gamecock games and Clemson games. But you know, when you got kids, you know how it is, man. You're going to do everything you can to support them and want to be there. And I just had that great opportunity to not have to work weekends. And, well, I'm sure that'll change starting next year. But I thank them for allowing me to do that.
So you obviously have to talk in an informed way on the Gamecocks and Clemson and other teams, local teams. Do you like DVR their games and then watch them on Sunday or Monday? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always watch them. I watch every Clemson game. I watch every South Carolina game. And of course, even when I'm traveling, you know, I got my little setup and I try to on my iPad. I stream them. I bought all the little ESPN, you know, those apps where you can watch the games, and so, and then I watch them again. You know, I go back and watch them, you know, and see, you know, what's going on. And you know, if you don't cover something, you got to definitely be in tune. And I don't have to be at the game per se, but I definitely, you know, on Sunday and sometimes even Monday during the week, I go back and watch games and things like that, or clips. To see certain things of kind of angle that I'm trying to do for our sports are concerned and that game is concerned. So, yeah, I don't miss. I don't think I've missed any of the games. You know, I've been to a couple of South Carolina games this year because of the bye week with Alabama. I had a chance to stay here. I went to, I think, the Georgia game as well. I haven't been up to Clemson, but I do watch all their games because my wife is a Clemson fan. She went to Clemson. My stepkids both graduated from Clemson, so we definitely are house divided, and we both are in tune to South Carolina and Clemson.
Nick Saban and Alabama, obviously on one of the most incredible runs in college football history. What has it been like for you to get a window into that?
Oh, man, it's been incredible. You know, Coach Saban is such a wonderful man, and I know from, you know, from the public perspective, he's viewed as a certain way, but I can tell you, I have nothing but the utmost respect for him. He's going through the recruiting process, and now having a chance to spend a lot of time around their program and just see how they operate, the spirit of excellence, not just on the football field, off the field, with players to, you know, the equipment guys, the nutritionists. I mean, the demand of excellence in every phase there, but also the care and the love that he has for those kids. I mean, all those players come back. I mean, he built such a rapport with them. His wife, Miss Terry, awesome, a mother of the team. It's just been a really great experience to see how they win and what they put into winning. And it's been impressive. And again, for me, even in my own life, you take away some of the things and components that they utilize, you know, winning, because, you know, winning in football field, winning in life, winning in business, and there's a lot you can learn from watching how he operates. And it's been amazing, you know, to see what he has accomplished, what he's doing, what he's still doing. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you don't see a lot. I mean, it's for coaches that have that type of success and for that long. So I could say, you know, honestly, he's one of those dudes that you go, man, I'm glad I had a chance to sit back and just see it and learn and, you know, get a chance to talk to him from time to time. It's been really incredible. And, of course, he touches a lot of people's lives. And I would say my son being able to next month walk away from Alabama with his master's. You know, he graduated early, 3 years. Now he's going to have his master's and just prepared for life, whatever happens in football. And he's come out of that place, you know, 5 years later as a great young man and with a lot of accomplishments. So I'm proud of it and proud of what Coach Saban has done with this program.
What was it like going to Baton Rouge and watching that beat down?
Oh, God. you know, but kudos to LSU and that place. Man, going there at night, it is incredible. It was the most incredible college football experience that I've ever had. And that place was rocking and loud. And I was one of those games you go, man, I don't know, you get nervous. You know, you don't lose much at night in Baton Rouge. Their fan base is amazing. You know, but Alabama went in there and weathered the storm. They had to fight hard. It was a great win, but I had to give LSU what the tailgating and the food and they're hospitable. Everybody wants you to try their Cajun food, and, you know, and the atmosphere is just so lame. I'm telling you, it was crazy. And I was sitting there going, wow. I told somebody this a little bit ago, you know, my great joy is going to these stadiums and finally having a chance to be at Ole Miss and seeing what the Grove is like and all these different stadiums. And see how everybody tailgate. I mean, you know, we sit here in South Carolina, Clemson, you know, great fan base, great tailgate, but then to go outside of our state, and man, you go, wow. But LSU, I can tell you, it is one of the top two or three sporting events that game that I've been to, and I totally enjoyed it. It was just amazing.
You talk about the tailgating. I've been in there once in 2002 when Georgia played there when Saban was at LSU and Mark Richt was at Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you know, you're used to the tailgating smells, you know, around the Southeast. It's normally like beer and barbecue and burgers, right? And at LSU, it's crawfish and bourbon. It's like a haze of it above the whole process.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. But I tell you, it was so fun. And my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, who lives in Baton Rouge, met me there, and he's a huge LSU fan, and just taking me around. It was incredible. And I've been there a couple of times before when South Carolina went there a couple of years ago. Darius Rucker played a concert that Friday night, and that was a Gamecock game, and that was really fun. And then 2 years ago, I was there as well. You know, I don't know if you remember this game, and it was 0-0 going into the fourth quarter, and Jalen Hurts actually got things going in that fourth quarter, and we ended up winning 10-0. But just an incredible place to go watch a football game.
And, Corey, before TV, you did radio, correct?
Yes. Yeah, we worked with J.C. Sherman. I know you know very well, and Mike Morgan. Worked with Clemson's very own Mark Packer in Charlotte on CBS Radio for years. So I was going back and forth on the show here. Then going up to Charlotte, then I ended up getting the afternoon drive show for about 5 years here in Columbia before they end up going with national. And then I end up going into TV full time. I worked TV while I was doing radio with the CBS station in town for about 7 years doing the Gamecock beat stuff. And that was fun. And then kind of transitioned over and wanted to do something more. Kind of had my own idea with the high school. And Miles Aldridge, I know who you know very well, Coach at Clemson and South Carolina's daughter, Allison, ended up being the GM at Watch Fox. And he met us back and said, hey, you need to go hire Corey. I mean, this guy's doing all stuff with sports. And that's how it all started. And she believed in the vision and allowed me to go in and build these 30-minute shows. And it's been very, very good. And she's now moved on. But the GM now, Greg Connor, came in and said, hey, I like what you're doing. I love this stuff. And let's do it 5 nights a week. And he actually went to do it more. So it's been awesome.
Speaking of the Pac-Man show, I think a lot of people miss that show he had on WFNZ. I mean, he's got a good show now, but it was just different back then. You agree?
I totally agree. I mean, I loved it. I mean, you know, QCB would come on, and, you know, with the comedian up there. I mean, you had all these great callers. I mean, folks, we just had a great time. I mean, you know, you just knew the callers and listeners. It felt like you had a relationship with them, and I missed that show. I thought it was awesome. And, you know, I know contractually things happen, but The show's definitely different now on the radio show that he had on Sirius XM. It's still good, but it's just not the same vibe because it's more national than that kind of a local flavor that he had here in our state, not in South Carolina and North Carolina. But yeah, I miss that. Pac's great at what he does. I learned so much from him, you know, with radio, just watching him, and was end up got to host a show a couple of weeks when he was going on vacation, and he felt good about leaving it in my hands because I, you know, he tutored me, you know, with the Southern Fried Football, was going these, you know, trips, and he's great at what he does, man, and he's very knowledgeable. I don't think anybody does any more homework and going back and looking at numbers and stats and facts. I mean, that dude is, he's equipped and ready to rock and roll.
When did you go to South Carolina? What was your first year?
1987. As a matter of fact, it was the only year that I was here that we beat Clemson. In my team, we won that game. Brad Edwards came up with a big-time interception. I think it was 20-7. And then the next three I lost. And then we lost bad to Clemson. In my, I was doing a podcast last night with Eric Kimbry. And that's one of the things I said. My memories of this rivalry is probably pretty bad because I don't want to remember because we got beat down a couple of those years.
So you signed in 86 or 87?
87. And, okay. And 1990 was my last year.
Okay, so basically you signed, though, when they were powerful. I mean, even the 86 team, yeah. I've always maintained the 86 South Carolina team is the best three-win team in the history of college football just because they had a bunch of they were just snake bit the whole season, came up to Clemson and tied a good Clemson team. What was it like signing with a powerful program, one that was really, really good in 87, of course, and then part of 88, and then seeing it sort of come apart so quickly?
Yeah, it fell apart. You know, you go back and started with 1984, you know, when it was so good. Of course, lost to Navy that season, but the defense was amazing. That fine defense, Joey Dunn. I mean, you know, just a great time of football. Joe Morrison, New York Giant, my coach, high school coach, Al Lush, actually played linebacker at South Carolina. So I was always kind of a Gamecock, kind of, because they brought me to the camps and all that stuff. But I loved it here. I mean, Joe Morrison was awesome. And the program was really on the verge of turning the big time corner. And when I got in 87, you know, Mike Dingle, Colin Mackey, I mean, Todd Ellis was here, Harold Green. Sterling Sharp was on this team, and we had guys galore. It's a lot of great players. Then 88, we started great. We're a top 10 team. Then we ended up, Todd Ellis got hurt. Joe Morrison died that spring. So we lost him, and then ended up hiring Sparky Woods, and our program from there just went downhill. Had a lot of good players, but guys didn't buy into the Sparky Woods, and of course, he didn't last long here. So it was tough. It was tough seeing a team here that was really, really close to turning that corner with Joe Morrison. And then, of course, having that heart attack and dying, just things went downhill. And it was very hard. It was probably the toughest 2 years that I had, for sure, because I had to change kind of position and up playing a defensive end instead of my normal linebacker position just because, you know, numbers were thin. But you do what you got to do to help the football team. But, you know, it was tough, man. But I wouldn't trade it. I met so many great brothers and teammates and great people at the University of South Carolina and at Clemson as well during that tenure in the late 80s. You know, we still laugh and joke. My good friend David Davis, who we were Shrine Bowl roommates, played at Lower Richland, LeVar Kirkland. We went against each other in high school. He's at Lamar. I'm at Paisland Central. Ed McDaniel played against him at Batesburg, Leesville. I was at Paisland. So I knew all of those guys, and it's pretty amazing. We talk about it now. Those names that I just mentioned from little 2A and 1A schools played so many years in the National Football League but came to represent our state colleges at the highest level.
Do you remember where you were when you heard the news that Joe Morrison died?
It was, I think I was leaving class. And they got word, we all were to report to the stadium and the Roost, I believe it was the Roost, and they told us then that he had passed away. And it was so devastating. And, you know, it was one of those times you're like, wow. I mean, just I can't believe it. You know, just seen him, just talked to him. He looked fine, nothing wrong. And, you know, he always did his racquetball thing. And to get that type of news that your coach just died, man, it was horrible. I mean, it was a horrible time. Matter of fact, I almost left. I almost transferred. And I thought very deep and hard about it. And Jim Washburn, who was my recruiter, one of my coaches here in South Carolina, just talked to me and just said, man, hey, you know, you came here, you love the school. I know we lost coach, and I know they got a different guy. You don't know what the staff's going to be like. But, you know, you love the school, so you need to stay. And he kind of taught me to stay at the University of South Carolina because I had no inkling who Sparky Woods was. I know the Appalachian State. I didn't know nothing about that. And I was like, man, I'm going to get up out of here. But he taught me to stay, and I'm glad he did.
Where were you thinking about going?
Well, one of a couple of my coaches, I actually thought about going. I think Jim Washburn, who recruited me, went to Purdue, was one of the schools I looked at. And I'm a country boy, never been anywhere. You know, like, Purdue, where's that? But I thought about that. You know, Georgia was another school. North Carolina was another school that I was thinking about. But something pretty close. You know, again, my family, we couldn't afford to travel. And that was one of really the main reasons I stayed here because – you know, they would never been able to go to a game and watch me play. So, but it was a difficult time, man. I tell that story a lot. It was devastating to have a coach pass away, and here you are as a young kid making a decision. I mean, you know, we say we choose schools, but reality, we choose coaches, right? We choose coaches too. And you know, Joe Morrison was my dude, man. I remember him in camp. He's 33. He called me 33, and. He's like, you got a scholarship here at the University of South Carolina. I'm telling you right now, it's like my sophomore or junior in camp, and I'll never forget him calling me down in the end zone at Williams-Brice Stadium. And he was always so nice to me. Matter of fact, his then wife, when he passed away, gave me his playbook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of the things, because, you know, I was close to them. I mean, and that's why I was devastated when Jumbo died. Cause, I mean, he was like the coolest dude of his players. He took care of his guys, and I always appreciated that.
Fast forwarding a year to Sparky's first year, at the end of that year, as you said, Todd Ellis was hurt. A great Clemson team, just loaded with talent. They were really, really young, as I recall. They go into Williams-Brice Stadium and just pound you guys 45-0, and I think it felt like more like 65-0. It was ugly. I mean, it was worse than 63-17. I think everybody who saw both of them can attest. But the quote that I'll never forget after that game, somebody in the media asked Sparky Woods, when did you get the feeling that it might not be a good night? And he said, when the ball was kicked off.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, no quarterback. I mean, you know, I love Dickie DeMacy, but he was not, you know, wouldn't have never played had not Todd been hurt. So, you know, we were just done. I mean, we were basically one-dimensional, and they had a great, like you said, a great football team, and, you know, Terry Allen, all these great players that they had on offense, and they were loaded. And so they came in here and really just wore us out. And again, they was turmoil, I would say this, with our football team just because of the coaching change. I mean, a lot of guys just did not buy into the Sparky Woods deal. And as you know, later on in those years when Tannehill got in, they had issues. I mean, players thought about leaving. So there was a big-time problem, a disconnect with the coach in that locker room, and that was one of the biggest issues as well.
On the topic of that 89 game relative to today, it feels kind of like entering this matchup that Clemson, obviously a monster favorite, but one of the sort of conversations that's been circulating over the last few days is this the most pessimistic South Carolina fans have ever been going into the Clemson game? And I, my position is that this is the least hope they've ever had, including that 89 game. I recall there actually being hope, you know, a little bit, including the 1981 game when Clemson had to go to Columbia. Clemson was 10-0 on the way to a national championship, including 2015 when South Carolina was a 3-win team and had just lost to the Citadel. It feels like right now, South Carolina fans are unanimously thinking that they're going to get killed. What is your take on that?
Yeah, you ask around. I mean, that's kind of the sentiment now. You know, I kind of disagree. I mean, on paper, there's no arguing. You know, that Clemson's a much better football team, and Dabo's done an outstanding job of turning that program around. Last 6-7 years, making them very nationally relevant. It recruited his tail off, and you got to give credit where credit is due. But this team, you know, South Carolina, what Will Muschamp has now, they will compete. And that's one thing, and I think that always start at the top with the coach and the coaching staff. And I think they have a great coaching staff. I mean, you know, and one thing I tell South Carolina fans, you know, you can't change a program around in 2.5 years. I mean, you're not going to be that elite program. It's going to take some time. And you got a coaching staff that can recruit. They understand what they're doing. They've got a lot of championships in that room, different coaches that have been around winning programs. It's going to take some time. You're not going to catch Clemson overnight. But I will say this about this team. They have a lot of good pieces. They just don't have enough good pieces. Depth is an issue, and that's one of the things that they're trying to build. You know, they got NFL receivers. They got some NFL offensive linemen. Jake Bentley is a very, very good quarterback. So they can score points. They can do some good things. They got good running backs. They got good guys in the front seven. You know, problem with South Carolina's going to have is their secondary. They're banged up. They hurt the numbers. I mean, they got to play guys, try to find guys, especially at the safety position. You're going up against a very talented, highly skilled set of offense with the Tigers. And, you can't deny that. But one thing that I do know is that I'm around the staff, and I know their work ethic. I know their belief system, and they're going to fight hard. You know, they're not just going to lay down. They're going to come and play their brand of football. They know they're going to have to play their best football. They're going to need some help. If they're going to try to upset Clemson and win the game, balls will have to bounce funny. That's part of it. And one thing I always say, that's why you play it. Game's not won on paper. You got to go still play. And, if Clemson plays their A game, South Carolina plays their A game, they're not going to win. Clemson just got better talent. That's just an honest opinion. But I do know that they'll be prepared. I know they will play hard. They'll play their best. But it's definitely a tough challenge.
What is your take on the last few years of the Steve Spurrier tenure? On one hand, he won 11 games 3 years in a row, which obviously has never been done there, might never be done again. But on the other, sort of took his hand off the wheel in recruiting and lost some, didn't backfill some of the important recruiting positions after experiencing some attrition. And here they are sort of still trying to recover from that. Are you and most South Carolina fans kind of conflicted about Spurrier's legacy in that you're trying to sort of pick up the pieces from what he left, even though he guided you to the clearly, easily, the highest success in the program's history?
Oh, yeah. You know, Larry, you know me. I'm very outspoken, but I feel like I'm very honest in my opinions. And Steve Spurrier did a phenomenal job for a while. That run you're talking about, three straight 11 wins. I mean, finishing in the top 10 several years in a row, beating Clemson, 5 years in a row. That means a lot to this program. And you got to give him the credit for doing that. But the latter was horrible. I mean, you can't stop recruiting. You can't give up, the things that got you to those 5 years of success that you had. And my problem was how he left the program at South Carolina. And it made it difficult for Will Muschamp to come in here and to try to rebuild. I always say it like this. The cupboard was very, very bare and empty. And I blame Steve Spurrier for that. That's his fault because he stopped recruiting. He stopped doing the things that he could have been doing. The program's at the highest peak ever. You should have kept adding to it. I mean, you think about it. If he had kept doing what Dabo Swinney has done, he had that. He had it going. They were in the position to really turn things around. You're finishing in the top 10. You've beaten great football teams. You know, you've beaten Alabama, the number one team in the country. You've beaten Clemson soundly every single year. You know, you should have been stockpiling recruits in here, and you would continue to win. Well, he stopped. he stopped, and I blame him for that. And then just to quit on this football team in the middle of the year and say he can't do it anymore, what to me was bogus. And I don't think it was fair to the players. I don't think it was fair to this very, very awesome fan base here in South Carolina. And he's part of the reasons why it's taking a tough time turning around. But kudos again. Will Muschamp is that dude. I support him and his staff wholeheartedly. I know he understands what he's doing. He got a second chance again at coaching after, been head coach at Florida. He's going to have a chance to break Steve Spurrier's three-year winning record, which he's going to do that for sure. He won 9 games last year, beat a very good Michigan team in a bowl game. So, they got some things that they can build on. They get a chance to possibly win another 8 games this year. And so, you're talking about still some good seasons despite having a bare cupboard. And I think if you're a Gamecock fan, that should give you some optimism and hope and see some of the kids that he's getting in here. Some of the top recruits are in the conversation now with Clemson and Alabama and Georgia on kids. They're in that top Final Four. That shows you that things are turning around. And they'll start to win some of those. The more successful they are, the more that, they put the money in recruiting. The ops building is going to be phenomenal. That's going to open up, I believe, next month or January. He's bringing the former players back and involving them. That was a problem when Steve Spurrier was here. Now that's turned around. Everything that Will Muschamp is doing is excellent. And, the thing that I tried to challenge the Gamecock fans is you have to be patient. And we know the rivalry. They look up by 26, see Clemson number 2, and they're doing great. And, that's all good. But you got to – it takes time. It takes time. And like Dabo, I remember when I was on radio, people were upset with Dabo. Oh, wow, it's a horrible hire. He was losing. Fans were upset. But what they did, he had an AD and people that believed in him and stayed with him instead of, like a lot of folks knee-jerk reaction and make changes. He said, hey, the vision's going to work. And now look at it. And that's what you got to do. You have to be patient. You have to give these coaches time to recruit their guys and turn things around. Yeah, there are going to be some heartaches and pains. That's part of success. You got to go through some stuff sometimes. And that's why I say point to Clemson. Look at what Dabo did. When it didn't start out pretty. It wasn't pretty for a while. But then they hung with him. They stuck with him. And now look what he's doing. Now he's one of the elite programs in the country.
Business owners out there, if you own a business that accepts credit cards, you need to listen up. Tandem Payment, based right here in the upstate, run by Clemson folks, is changing the face of payment processing, quickly becoming the most cost-effective solution for all small businesses. Tandem's program saves you up to 90% on processing charges and gives your customers what they love most, choices. This is not some crazy introductory offer. Tandem's technology allows business owners to offset their credit card processing costs by applying a small customer service charge to each sale they make. If you want to know more, visit TandemPayment.com today. Former Tiger Hot Rod McDowell works over there at Tandem Payment. They handle all their business and customer service face-to-face. So give them a call, 864-672-1570. If you're tired of spending an arm and a leg on all those credit card processing fees. When you're in the midst of winning 11 games 3 years in a row, as South Carolina did, in 11, 12, and 13, and beating Clemson 5 years in a row, everybody's in la la land, and nobody's really paying attention to or looking for perhaps some of the cracks in the foundation. But clearly, there were some there. At least, the last couple of a year or so of that. Do you remember when you sort of started to think, this could be headed to, this could be going downhill in a hurry?
I'm trying to think about what year it was.
So A&M, so 14 was the year A&M came in and killed them in the opener.
Yeah, and that they had some big hopes, and then A&M came in and smoked them. And but I've heard things, you hear things when you're around the program, and I heard things from coaches, that Steve Spurrier and his guys haven't seen certain guys, weren't recruiting, and that's a problem. That is a big problem. And that started the show. Because, when you're getting the Clownies and the Lattimores and the Devontae Hollins and the Gilmores, or these in-state prospects that you got to try to get the best of the group every single year. And when you talk about, which I'm covering high school, I know all these high school coaches, and I see these kids, and I know there's some great football players in the state of South Carolina, and they haven't been around. That's a problem. So, and it began to show after you lose, the attrition sets in, and you lose those top-notch players like Clowney's and others. You got to be able to replace those guys. I mean, it's like what Clemson's doing right now, like what Alabama been doing for years. They don't have letdowns. Why? Because guys, even if they leave after 3 years or 4 years, guess what? They got four other guys that they're training up, they're getting them ready, and that's why they don't skip a beat, because they continue to recruit. And that's what happened with Steve Spurrier. This program had for 5 years, they had the cream of the crop. You can go back and look at those players in that time frame that not only played great in South Carolina, but are playing great in the NFL right now, right? But they didn't replace those guys. They had that run, and then he didn't replace those guys. And I thought that 2014 year, I thought Spurrier should have stepped down. Because I was hearing that he was, thinking they didn't want to coach, and the wife was trying to encourage him to stay. But you can just tell. You can just tell that there was a shift change, and he probably should have stepped down then. And while it was still good, somebody else can come in here and continue to build on it. And I thought he waited 2 years too long.
Yeah, wasn't it Nick Chubb who came in on a visit and Spurrier wasn't there or something? Also, Raekwon. McMillan?
That's what the worry was out there. And that's just not good. Let's see. That kind of peeved me a little bit. Players that, Mason Rudolph, the Christian Millers of the world, Jacob Park. There were some great players in this state that went on to the major program that had phenomenal careers that could have been playing football at South Carolina. And because they failed to recruit them, the program, in my opinion, suffered.
Hypothetical here, Corey. Over the next 5 years, let's say Will Muschamp does a really good job and does the things that you think he's capable of doing, winning 8-9 games a year, but continues to lose decisively to the big monster in his state, obviously Clemson, and the big monster in his division, Georgia. How will that be received, in your opinion, by most, or how would that be received by most Gamecock fans, even if you're winning 8 or 9 games, but still getting your brains beat in by the Bulldogs?
That's going to get old. I mean, that's going to be old for Muschamp. He's not happy with that. I mean, he's looking up the road. Believe me, nobody wants to beat Clemson more than that staff down there. And they know what they're up against. It's not just Clemson. I mean, they play in the SEC. I mean, you're going to face that every state. They face that every year, several times. I mean, think about next year. They got Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia on their schedule. Plus all the other SEC teams. It's not easy. I mean, this is not an easy place to play football. But again, you get an opportunity to play against the best of the best. And I can tell you, Will Muschamp, he wants to win the state. He knows how important that is. Steve Spurrier didn't think it was important when he got here. He thought it was more important to beat Georgia. South Carolina has been beating Georgia. They've been beating Florida. They've been beating the Tennessees, which are great programs with tons of national championships. But he knows he's got to beat Clemson, and that has to change. But it's work. It's work, and it can happen. And South Carolina's going to have the facilities. They're going to do the things that they need to do, recruiting budget-wise. They're going to things have changed. I can tell you, immensely things have changed around here. The environment has changed around this place. So that's going to happen. I mean, and that's going to change. I mean, it's cyclical. I mean, we've seen it. If everybody talks about Alabama, there's certain coaches and programs can do that for a while, but even then, this is cyclical. Things have changed, but you got to continue to, I think, stay committed to the task. Whatever your blueprint of success is, stay committed to that. Continue to get the great football players in here. There's enough to go around with everybody. Coach them up, develop them. They know what it takes. Like I said, Muschamp's been worked under Saban. All these coaches have worked under Saban and other places. They know what it takes to be successful. Clemson is at its peak right now, and it's going to take a great, valiant effort to try to overcome it. But they got the right people in place and to do it, and that's what I see, and that's what I try to focus on who's running this program, what Will Muschamp and that staff is doing, they got the right people in place, and that's where the hope should lie with the Gamecock fan base. It'll happen. They'll beat Clemson again. You know, it's going to turn, but it's going to take a lot of great work. I mean, it's going to take a lot of great effort, and they just got to be committed to that.
Corey, what did you think of Dabo Swinney in, say, 2010, 2011, and what do you think of him now?
I was one of those dudes that didn't think he could get it done, honestly. I remember on the radio, I called him, oh, Clemson got up. I told him a coupon coach. I said some awful things. But again, I'm always that dude that say, hey, I was wrong about that guy. You know, he turned the program around, and again, he understands it. He gets it. And you got to give him the credit. You know, from what I've known, a lot of coaches that's coached up there, a lot of players that's been around the program. Heck, he offered my son a scholarship. I mean, you know, I took him up there to a camp. So, you know, he's got a good staff. He's got Venables, who I like a lot. A lot of people at Clemson didn't even like Brent Venables. I was one of the dudes that would say, hey, you know, Dabo got somebody in that guy. He gets it. And he's able to keep those guys, which is key. You know, Alabama, I mean, guys go to be head coaches, but then Brent Venables stays. And then that's saying something. But Dabo's done a great job, and I think, you know, he can relate to those kids. One thing I do appreciate about him is his faith. I'm a Christian, an ordained minister, and I'm never going to shout or shun somebody from you know, speaking into the young men's lives and things like that. That's awesome. And, you know, he's doing a wonderful job, and he's keeping that team relevant and continuing to recruit. And so you got to give that man the credit. And I think, you know, he's had a blueprint that worked, but you also got to give, you know, the uppers, the people in the high places, so to speak, that stuck with him when it wasn't so good. And so that's why I keep saying here, you have to go through some bumps and bruises, but if you got a guy that will work tirelessly, that has a passion and a love and wants it and believes it, then in his vision, then it can happen. It can come to fruition, and that's what I've seen with Dabo Swinney. And that's why I'm saying I see Will Muschamp being that same kind of person as well, because he loves it. He has a vision. He's been around championships. He's won championships, and he knows the pedigree and what it takes, and you have to just stay committed. But kudos to Dabo Swinney and the staff and what they're doing up there. It's playing some really good football.
When you came up here with Christian, did you learn anything that you hadn't already known? Like, what was your takeaway after you left?
Nothing different, really. I mean, you know, I just thought that, you know, they had a good rapport with the kids. I could see how they really were connected with these coaches. You know, relationship, and I knew how big that was, you know, having that rapport with the high school coaches. And I could tell that. I mean, they had a busload of kids that were from Miami. That coach had brought a whole busload of kids to that camp. I mean, you know, so you have to do those types of things. And he had a great relationship, it seems, with all these high school coaches. One of the things that I saw, and they made sure they knew everything. And, you know, and he was honest. Hey, man, you know, they knew about me. They knew where my heart is, South Carolina. But they still weren't afraid to say, hey, man, listen, your kid's going to be a great one. And we'd love to have him up here. I know he plays South Carolina, but they weren't afraid to throw it out there. You know what I mean? So, hey, you know, you can appreciate that. You know, you can't be scared, as they say. And you know, they're doing things the right way. I mean, so I'm a Gamecock, always will be, but I'm also a guy that give credit and respect where it's due.
Let's talk about another hypothetical matchup that everybody is considering a foregone conclusion. Clemson and Alabama. You've watched both teams, obviously, really closely. What is your take on that matchup, if it happens?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody was asking me that today, you know. Somebody about throws it out there. You know, I honestly, looking at it, and I'm just being honest, and I'm like, oh, you're Christian dad, what are you asking about? But I'm just being my honest football opinion right now. You know, if I was saying these two teams met on neutral site, I know Alabama, from my eye, just the eye test and what I've seen, is a better football team. They have more depth at every position. Tua, to me, is a And although I think, you know, Clemson's quarterback is going to be the real deal. But I still understand as a freshman some of how tough it is. I look at that, and I look at just the weapons that Alabama has on offense. They got a very good offensive line. Tight end is phenomenal. They don't have really, you know, not the front seven on defense is really good. You know, they got a young secondary. If anything you want to say about Alabama, they're young, but they got probably one of the best safeties in the country. Thompson, the corners have stepped up and played really good. The freshman, Surtain, is a really good corner. The special teams is good, except the kicking game has not been good at all. So if there's anything that would concern me if they play Clemson and it was close, I'll be a little nervous, to be honest with you. But, you know, if you ask me right now, yeah, I think Alabama's a better football team. But, again, that's, you know, you play the game. You never know what can happen. Clemson's very good. I think, you know, you're playing them, you got to be able to not give up those explosive plays. That's what they do. They're going to try to nickel and dime, a lot of tunnel and bubble screen, a lot of hitches. They got some good receivers on the outside. The D-line, there's no conversation to have there. One of the best in the country. So if you're going to get in the third and long, you're going to get in trouble with all those guys to rush the passer. But I do think, you know, if they're not getting to the quarterback, you look at the secondary, who I still think is growing and learning on the back end. And there could be some places there. But listen, two great football teams. Who knows? You know, injuries could be a factor. But if you just ask me, you know, who I think the better team is, which I think, you know, everybody else would say right now, it'd be Alabama. They would probably be favored in the game. But no doubt it'd be a great football game. And of course, you never know how the ball will bounce. We've seen that before. So, you know, that's kind of my takeaway. I wouldn't say, you know, I don't know what the line, people always throwing lines. I don't know, but I would just say, to me, on paper, I think Alabama has many more weapons and things on offense and the defense that's really good as well. That could play some good football, but, you know, maybe we'll say it again and then it'll speak for itself.
You mentioned Alabama's depth. You know, it's funny, last January going into the Sugar Bowl, I guess it was Hootie Jones was out. That was their safety, correct? And I want to say,
he got hurt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to say they had another injury on the back end, and you know, I'm like, okay,
secondary.
Yeah, this at safety, and I'm like, okay, who's Hootie's backup? Oh, this guy named Deontay Thompson who hasn't played. I mean, I think he'd only played like 80 snaps all year. So, an idiot.
That's right.
You know, I'm like me. You just assume, oh, he can't be that good. And now you look at that dude, and he's a freaking assassin. I mean, it's unbelievable. The guys, they just roll out.
Yeah, he just covers so much ground. And that's why I tell people, I mean, you know, every year they'll say, oh, they lost nine. I mean, nine guys on NFL rosters right now that defense last year. And I was like, but you understand, I've seen these guys, and they go against the number one. I said, these guys can play. I mean, these guys are really good. And it's just like they just don't get a chance to play that much. And so they're going to be good. And that's what, like, right now, I mean, they got guys at linebacker, that outside linebacker. These dudes can really play. I mean, anywhere else, they probably start. And so they just roll them out. And, you know, you mean, you know, you just got that depth. That's why I kept saying, well, South Carolina and Clemson is building that now. You know, you're getting guys like that. I mean, that can just, you can roll them out there. I mean, you know, Clemson got the linemen that probably don't get a chance to play as much, right, just because you got them studs in front of them. But next season, when them dudes all gone, you know, they're going to roll them out. They're going to roll them right out there. And people will find out who they are soon enough because they're going to get more of an opportunity to show what they can do. So, and that's why recruiting is so big. And that's why, you know, Alabama and Clemson and these teams have been successful, Ohio State for the world. You know, they're able to continue to recruit at a high level. And you can hold those guys. You're not forced to throw them in there as freshmen and then not to make mistakes and haven't played in big games. You know, you're not worried about that. You're able to say, hey, sit back. We'll put you in there, you know, when time is right. And then you worked up a way to get to the rotation. And that's a good thing. So, you know, it's fun to watch. You know, it definitely is fun to watch. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, Clemson should win outright. They're pitting an ACC championship game. You know, Alabama still got two tough games. If I tell the guy this happened to them, you know, I don't overlook anybody. You know, I'm like, you know, Auburn and Alabama, regardless of what Auburn's been looking like, they're going to be great against Alabama. You can almost bet that. That's a big rival game. Iron Bowl. in Georgia. You know, people are, well, Georgia's just a running team, but hey, NFC Championship game in Atlanta. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, as Coach said, they worried about Auburn now. So, and just kind of worried about, because they got some big games left in front. Before we talk about playoffs, I'm like, let's take care of Auburn and then Georgia, of course, with those running backs, and Jake Fromm's playing really good football, their defense is getting better. So there's no easy games left on the schedule.
How much concern do you think there is about Tua's knee?
From what I've heard, nothing. Really no concern at all. He's fine. You know, I guess he took a shot on top of his knee. He could have came back in that Mississippi State game. What was it, Mississippi State game, maybe?
Yep.
He could have played. He's fine. I mean, there's no concern. Jalen's back healthy from his ankle procedure. So, and that's good news. Good to have that guy sitting right there just in case. So they're getting back healthy. You know, you always, this time of year, worry about guys with some dings, ankles, things like that. They get their starting guard back. He'll be back this week. He missed last week, and somebody else are getting back too. So that's a good sign. And maybe, you know, I know we lost Diggs, who was starting corner, who was really good. I don't know what his situation is going to be for us. If they make the playoffs, he'll be available. So they got players. I mean, you know, and they train these guys up. And that's one thing Nick does, is those guys are taught and they're trained up, even if they have to go in and play. So it's going to be fun, man. I'm just soaking it up, Larry. I'm just soaking it up, man. I'm sad the senior day to go on the field with my son. I remember like yesterday dropping him off at 17. At 212 pounds, and now 245, and you know, one of the best outside backers in the league, and so this is kind of a happy and a sad week for me, you know, because I really enjoy going to Tuscaloosa and watching them play, and being a dad, and, you know, stepping away from all the other stuff, and just so thankful to the Lord is how He just blessed us and blessed Christian and allowed him to just even, you know, be on that scale, man. It's just an unbelievable blessing from the Lord.
Is the Iron Bowl 3:30?
3:30 game, 2:30 Central. So I always went to the ones at Alabama. I never went to Auburn because I knew how crazy it could get. I don't want to be in that. So I just go to the home games. And so I'm glad it's in Tuscaloosa this year. I know last year was hard to watch. I played their worst game of the year in that ball game. But they'll be ready to go, you know, just last week was kind of weird with the Citadel, and people were getting a little bit concerned. But, you know, 11 o'clock game, and, you know how it goes. Just not really motivated, but they find a way to get it done the second half. But they'll be ready to go this week.
You going to find somewhere to watch the game up here in the upstate?
Oh, I'm going to watch it. No, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be at the tailgate, and we're going to have that game on. So my buddy down at the cigar bar, was a house that the cigar place downstairs. And he knows with Clemson, South Carolina, all the games, they turn them on. I have my own little setup down there, so they take care of me.
Well, look, we've gone this long and haven't even asked you about what it was like to play with Lawrence Taylor, but that would probably last about 3 hours, so maybe we can have you back on at some point.
And listen, man, you and I, we can chat sports for hours. I'm just sitting here, man, just legs crossed and just enjoying the conversation, but that's what it's all about. But, man, I appreciate all you've done and covering sports. I know it's a passion of yours. And again, I just want to say to the folks, Clemson, South Carolina, whomever, we all pull for our teams. But one thing I do know that we're all blessed. And I know we live in a great state of South Carolina with a lot of great people that go to both schools, that do a lot of great things for both universities. And I want to be the first to say, wish them a blessed and happy Thanksgiving and holiday season. And everybody be careful out there. And just continue to love one another, man, because that's what life is all about. It's short, and that's what we need. And that's the main focus to me, that, game's going to be games, and winners going to win, lose or lose. But at the end of the day, we still have love for one another and respect for one another. We can live in a great world.
Very well said. Hey, man, congrats on Christian's Masters. Congrats on him playing at Alabama. Just what a great great experience for him and for you. So good luck Saturday, and we'll keep in touch with you. I'm sorry, Corey.
Sounds good, and if that happens, that scenario happens, man, we'll do another one. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, sir. Brother. God bless, man.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, too, Corey Miller, for sharing his time with us. Man, that must be a lot of fun for him. last few years, going to Alabama on a regular basis and seeing that dynasty from the inside. So thank you again to Corey. And also, thank you to our title sponsor, Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in downtown Greenville, and the Abernathy Boutique Hotel in Clemson. And finally, Tandem Payment in Greenville. Everybody, thank you all for listening. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you have a safe weekend. Enjoy the game. Saturday night, we'll be back with the next podcast Monday morning as scheduled. Cheers, everybody.